And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, December the 10th, 2018. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. And boy, do we have a holiday show for you today. Before we get to this hour, I want to tell you what's going to go on next hour. At 1:15 today, we are going to be joined by the Columbus Zoo Director Emeritus, Jack Hanna, to talk all about the Columbus Zoo Wild Lights, which will be going on through the 1st of 2019. So Jack Hanna coming up next hour. Now this hour, we're going to do something a lot of fun. Because, as you know, this time of year, the person who gets more mail than anybody else is Santa Claus. Now, I'm going to do this several times during this interview. If you don't know Santa Claus's address, here it is. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, today, we are going to be joined by Santa's head elf, and has been Santa's head elf for more than a half century. She is in the Santa Claus Hall of Fame and founded the Santa Claus Museum about 12 years ago in Santa Claus, Indiana. What a pleasure it is to talk to Pat Cook. Pat, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Pat, how are things going this time of year, middle of December?
Things are going really well. We're really busy. We are busy helping Santa answer all these letters because, of course, Santa's up in the North Pole getting that sleigh packed and making all those toys and receiving all those requests. So there are many, many children who like letters to Santa, and we have wonderful volunteer elves to help get all those letters answered to those children.
Now, Santa, Pat, how did this start in Santa Claus, Indiana?
Well, the post office was created with that name in 1856, so we have the document in our museum when the name was granted to this little town. It was going to be called Santa Fe, but there was already a Santa Fe in Indiana, so that was not allowed, and the legend is that this discussion about naming the town was at the country store, which was also the post office. The discussion was going on Christmas Eve with all the townspeople and children present. And all of a sudden they heard sleigh bells and Santa came in the room and the children yelled Santa Claus and the townspeople said, that's the name. That is the legend.
That is great. Now tell us, for somebody who's never been to Santa Claus, Indiana, what is it like there all year round?
All year round, it's very Santa Claus-y. All the businesses are named for Santa Claus, either Santa Claus or something pertaining to Santa Claus and this time of the year. All the streets are named with Santa Claus names from the Bible and from Christmas carols and from wherever we could find names. So it's a very Christmassy town all year round, and children write letters all summer long at our museum historic post office, which was the original post office building. So there are a lot of letters that come in during the summertime, and those are all ready for Santa to answer right before Christmas.
Now, when would kids need to have their letters out to Santa to get an answer before Christmas?
Really soon. Like today, tomorrow, this week. Santa has to get ready, you know, to make that big trip, and Christmas comes this year at a strange time because the post office is closed on Saturday, which would be the 22nd, and so Santa will be so busy that answering letters will probably have to end around the 20th. We hope they get out by December 15th. We have today about approximately 6 people. Volunteers, and there are many, many letters. We're up already to almost 10,000 letters.
Now, when do the letters start coming in heavy?
The letters come in heavier, of course, right now. And after this broadcast, they'll probably come in heavier. That's what happens. But there are a lot of letters from the summer, and then, of course, we get letters from schools, kindergartens, preschools, and those, of course, are children writing their letters for their teacher, which is a wonderful thing. So, you know, just about now for the next couple of weeks.
Now, how did this all start with you?
Well, it started, actually, history says that in December 14th, the postmaster was answering letters. We have no absolute research on that, but that has come down through the years. And then in the 1930s, Santa Claus found out that the postmaster was overwhelmed with letters because, of course, postmaster has their own mail and all the Christmas cards and everything, and decided to start helping the postmaster at that time with the letters, and undertook the project as a project for volunteers. And that continued through many, many years. And actually, at that point, letters were taken out to homes, to schools, to the monasteries, to the American Legion posts, and all around the area to help get them done. That we don't do anymore. The letters, we have to very, very carefully guard the children's privacy and their names and their addresses. So Santa is being helped right here in the historic post office every day.
Now, how did you get involved personally? Your father was involved, was he not?
My father was very much involved, and that is the person that started helping the postmaster in the 30s. After he returned home after the First World War back to Indiana. So he was the person that enlisted the help of different organizations and started organizing it and helping the postmaster. And then I was involved when I was about 12 years old helping. And then after going away to be a nurse, I came back home and once again got involved. In 1976, the Santa's Elves were incorporated as 501c so that we can accept donations. There's a great deal of postage. We get letters from all over the world, international letters from China, Japan, Australia, Germany, all over the world, Russia. And that postage is $1.15, and the regular postage, I understand, is 50, and it's going up. So and this is all volunteer and all free. Nobody pays. We do accept donations.
That's interesting. Is there ever a language problem coming from foreign countries?
No, there isn't, because foreign countries write English very well. I think they're very proud of the fact that they are printing letters, and it is rare. Every now and then we get one in German, which I can read. We get some in Spanish, which my family can read. We do have exchange students who help us with letters, and sometimes that's helpful. You know, the Chinese characters are very difficult, so once in a while, but most of the ones, even from China, Japan, are in English, and good English, and good punctuation, and wonderful printing. We do have to print everything, because of children are not learning cursive writing.
Now, you started this quite a while ago, but in 2006, you founded the Santa Claus Museum. Now, tell us about that.
Well, I was realizing that there was so much history in this town and so much history about from the past that I described some of it to you, and also from the 1960s when my husband's family and I really began developing the town. And, of course, history gets told, but sometimes incorrectly. So I began to think that I should try very hard to find a way to keep that history going and to have it done properly. So I acquired the original Santa Claus Church, which is Deutsche Evangelische Kirche, which in German means German Evangelical Church. That was from the 1880s, and the original post office building, which was from the 1850s. And, of course, the Santa Claus statue stands here, a concrete statue that's just beautiful, and it is from 1935. So we have, you know, three historic buildings and a monument two buildings and a monument that are really part of the history of the town. And then we have a part of a large building on the same property that has many documents, a wax figure of Santa Claus, and a lot of the history of the post office and the town and Santa Claus Land, which was the original Holiday World. All of that is in this small museum that we now have.
What is your favorite part of the museum?
Oh, there's so many. I guess supposedly the Santa Claus wax figure, which is, of course, portraying Santa Claus as a great, wonderful person, and there's a voiceover there. Because, you know, well, of course, Jesus is the reason for the season, but Santa Claus is second best, right? So, you know, seeing Santa Claus, we can't have Santa Claus here all the time because he's busy. So that wax figure is very, very important to me, plus the history of the post office in the town.
When did the post office start getting letters addressed to Santa Claus? When did that connection first happen?
Well, we think 1914, but that, you know, once again, there's no documentation to that. I don't really know how that started, but that's what's been told for many, many years.
Now, how has email changed things over the years?
Well, email really hasn't changed it for us because we absolutely want the child to write or print a letter and send it to Santa Claus. There was one season when we said we would accept emails, and what we found then was it became very commercial almost, because it would be just a child's name and an address. And what we love is reading a letter that a child has written when they give out their soul to us. I mean, they tell us things their parents probably don't even know they tell us. And we feel that that is the most important thing, that the child send a letter. Now, there are some children that are old enough to write. The mother, of course, can write the letter, and that happens all the time. But we really do not answer email letters.
It's very interesting. A book was put out, Letters to Santa Claus, that you did the foreword by. Has there been a letter that sticks in your mind over these many years that is your favorite?
Well, there are many, and they're not all in that book, but of course the first letter is just amazing because it's the 1930s, and Catherine is writing for her family and all her brothers and sisters, and those children, and she's writing in cursive, those children are asking for socks and underwear and mittens and shoes. And, of course, no iPad or no Xbox or no computer or no things that we're asking for today. But, of course, we move on. But it's such a poignant letter because she says that they are poor. And then she names her brothers and sisters, who are, I think, 5 or 6, and says, and the others are dead. And, of course, in the 30s, many children did not survive. But that is just a very touching letter, I think.
Now, how have things, you touched on it there, that children ask for changed over the years?
Well, the book is a history, really, because we have the 30s, 40s, 50s, up until the 2000s. And so you can read through that book, Letters to Santa, and see how different. You know, there were Shirley Temple dolls in the 30s and 40s, and there were different things for each generation. And, of course, now it's all because children have access to so much information. You know, the 30s and 40s, we had a radio. I grew up at that time. But we didn't have a TV or a computer. And so we still ask for a doll, just a doll. Now it's a specific doll, and it's a specific item, almost, and a great deal of electronics, of course. I love it when a child asks that we give them one thing and then help children who aren't going to get anything. And, of course, we do not, the elves here help Santa answer letters. That's our ministry.
Mm. You know, some of the letters, as you say, like that first letter, must be very touching with people who've lost their brothers and sisters and asking for things because the family maybe doesn't have a lot of money at this time of year.
Right, and we're still getting those letters. And as I say, the volunteers, the elves who come in, we share letters, and many of them are very funny. The children are creative, and they send art, and they send peppermint, and it's wonderful. But then they're also very sad letters, and we have in the past received several letters from men who might be incarcerated in prison asking us to send letters to their child. We have children who are very sad, who are unhappy with their home life and bear their souls to Santa in their letters. So, you know, there's a lot of, oh, this is so sad, but we try to lift them up and help them by letting them know that they are loved and we never promise anything because that would not be good to promise that they'll get something that they're asking for. But we do a lot of we love you, Mrs. Claus sends love, and try to be helpful to the children.
In 2018, this year, what has been the biggest gift requested from Santa Claus?
The biggest what?
The biggest gift. What's the most requested item?
LOL dolls. And then, of course, there's still Hatchimals. That's a big deal. And slime. And then an iPad and Xboxes. And what's that, a Switch? Whatever that is. I'm not the electronic wizard.
What part has this become of your life, doing this for so long?
Well, every part of it. I mean, I feel the legacy from my father, of course, and just realizing that 20-some thousand children are going to write a letter to Santa. And this morning, a letter came in saying what a difference it made in the life of the children last year. We get large envelopes of letters from schools and Girl Scouts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when you know you've helped a child and you've made a difference in their life, and I think Santa Claus is real. The spirit of Santa Claus lives on forever and ever. And bringing that joy to that child and that family is just, it's an amazing honor, actually.
Absolutely. Now, how many people work in the operation over the season?
You know, I guess this year we'll have to count. Everybody has that question. And we don't count people. We're just so glad that they come in. We have some very loyal elves that come in 3 or 4 times a week and spend hours here. We have somebody that just stops in and helps. But we have a training, and the letters are done in a particular way that they are done properly and with great respect. We really, like this morning, there are 7 people in that room possibly, and it's a small room with me, maybe 8. And then this evening we do have groups that come, like some teachers come after school, love doing that, some Girl Scouts come, Junior Optimist youth group. So getting groups is wonderful because we may get 8 to 10 people, and then we can really get. Our goal is to get these letters into the mail, and the Santa Claus Post Office is very busy this time of year because people send their Christmas cards or bring them to mail. So it's a priority to get as many letters answered as we can every single day.
Absolutely. Now, if somebody came to Santa Claus, Indiana, let's say in February, what would be the things they would want to check out?
Well, in February, Santa Claus, Indiana is at rest. It's cold, and of course, it's not Christmas time, and there are a few people who stop by, but it's pretty quiet in Santa Claus, Indiana in the winter time. I would say from January till April, probably. I mean, you would find the Convention and Visitors Bureau open, the grocery store open, the United States Post Office open. But it's pretty quiet in this town in the winter after Christmas.
If somebody would take a trip there before Christmas, what are the things they would like to see?
Oh, well, before Christmas, I would start with, of course, I have to say the Santa Claus Museum and Village and the historic church and the historic post office and the historic Santa Claus statue. And there is a candy castle that was also built in the 30s. And that's a wonderful place to visit. And then there is a beautiful Christmas store that rivals any Christmas store anywhere that has everything for Christmas. It's very, very large. Every kind of ornament, every kind of sweater, sweatshirt, every kind of everything that pertains to Christmas, the Christmas store. There's a toy store that has wonderful things for children. There are small shops with other items, Evergreen Florist and several other shops, and of course you'd want to visit the post office, and there's, you know, everything's named Christmassy. Frosty's is a place to eat. I mean, there before Christmas, we're pretty busy here. We just had a big parade, and it was wonderful. It was just big for our part of the town, and at the campground, you can still rent, there's a Lake Rudolph campground, and it has Christmas cabins, which are beautiful, and they have a Christmas tree, and it's a lot of fun. And they have a Land of Lights that tells the history of Rudolph, which is a lot of fun for little kids. It's really fun to drive through the Land of Lights. So there's a lot to do here at this time of year.
Now, how many people live in Santa Claus, Indiana?
About 2,200.
And is everybody just filled with the Christmas spirit there? It sounds like a great place.
It is a great place. It is a great place to live. It's, you know, it's typical of small towns in Indiana, I think. Everybody knows everybody. That's good and bad, as you probably know. There are many, many people who come here to live in Christmas Lake Village, which my husband and I built, and many of those people go to Florida in the winter time because they're some of them are retired. There are young families there also, so it's a fun place. And you know, like the streets are named. My husband and I named all the streets, and the main arteries in Christmas Lake Village are Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar, who were the three wise men. So all the streets are named after Christmassy things, which makes it fun. Yeah. And when you're traveling and you put your name down as being from Evergreen Place in Santa Claus, Indiana, that sometimes brings a, are you kidding me? No, we're not kidding. That's where we live.
That's great. Now, are there any special activities that go on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day in Santa Claus, Indiana?
Well, probably Christmas Eve, most of the activities are church activities because this is a very churchy part of the world in Indiana. So a lot of beautiful programs in churches. Possibly the Christmas, I mean, a lot of places close down Christmas Eve because Santa's out doing his trip, you know. That's just a sort of a tradition. Santa has to be on his way. So, and Christmas Day is all about family and people getting together like it is everywhere in the world.
For you, Pat, what is your favorite part of the holiday season?
Well, my favorite part is doing letters, helping Santa do letters. That's absolutely my favorite part of the holidays. I dedicate my life to this before Thanksgiving and around Thanksgiving. It officially opens the Monday after Thanksgiving for the volunteers. But my family is all grown and my husband is deceased, so my life revolves around helping Santa get the letters answered, and it's my favorite thing to do.
Well, Pat, I can't thank you enough for this. It's always a lot of fun to talk with you. Do you want to remind people the address? Now, get this out quick, though. Santa Claus.
Get them out quickly.
Absolutely. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. And we've been chatting with Pat Cook, the head elf in Santa Claus, Indiana. Thank you, Pat. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, Pat Cook, now you know the address. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, We do have some time left this hour, so I thought we'd do some trivia. We've got some new trivia questions, too, that maybe will add to the questions we have not got answered in the past few weeks. Now, I will let the questions that we have not got answered kick things off here. There aren't too many left, really, and then we'll move on to new questions. Okay, here's the questions we've had for the longest time. Here is the question we've had for the longest time. What does the Pepsi Cola Company do special, or did do special, every year at Halloween time? What did the Pepsi Cola Company used to do special every year at Halloween time? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. We've had these two questions for a long time. Maybe we'll get them right today. What percentage of people think Christmas is a cultural holiday? Now remember, cultural holiday means Santa Claus, Rudolph, non-religious. What percentage of people think that Christmas is a cultural holiday? We still have that question. Now here's another one we still have. What percentage of people still go out and Christmas carol? Put the scarves and the gloves and the hats on and still go out and Christmas carol. What percentage of people still do that? This question last week we had a lot of really interesting answers to. Maybe we'll get it right this week. What is an old-time term for a joke? Now, it's a one-word term for a joke. Now, like I said before, if I told you who said it, you would get it right off the bat. Because there was a pretty well-known Central Ohio person who used to use this term for a joke. And I thought they had made the term up. But then I heard people on national television saying it. So I knew it was not a local thing. So does anybody know what the one-word term is for an old-time joke? What did Johnny Carson and his band leader, Doc Severinsen, used to argue about every year on The Tonight Show at holiday time? They used to have the same argument. What was it?
Go ahead, caller.
Snookered.
What was that?
Snookered.
No, not snookered, but that's close. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It was not snookered, but that's close. What is an old-time term for a joke? It's a one-word term that means joke. It's not snookered, and it's not... We had a word last week that was kind of close to it. Shenanigans. It's not snookered, it's not shenanigans, but that's close. A one-word old-time term for a joke. What did Johnny Carson and Doc Severinsen used to argue about every year at holiday time on The Tonight Show? Does anybody know the answer to that? 740-383-9944. Now, before we get to the new questions that we have come up with today, now, by the way, remember, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, to bring up our Olympics, which is coming up this week. The Christmas Olympics, WWGH Radio, presents the first annual Christmas Olympics. The event will take place at Grant Middle School, located at 420 Presidential Drive here in Marion, on Thursday, December 13th, from 6 until 8 p.m. There will be three events. The Christmas Cookie Baking Contest. You can bake your favorite Christmas cookies and bring them to the event on December 13th to be judged by our judges, myself and Charlie Evers. We have nobody entered in that, by the way, so if you want to enter the Christmas Cookie Baking Contest, now would be the time to do it. Now, the Fruitcake Toss, where we're going to toss actual fruitcakes to see who can toss one the furthest distance. We do have... three people entered into that one. Jack Johnson of Al's Country Market was entered by Judy Summers in the Fruitcake Toss. Melinda Johnson from Affinity Insurance was entered by Judy Summers in the fruitcake toss. And I was entered by Ralph Thacker in the fruitcake toss. So those three people will be tossing fruitcakes. The third event is Eggnog Pong. We will find out who can bounce a ping pong ball into a glass of eggnog the most times. Now, we don't have anybody entered in that either. Now, remember, you've got to enter these people by December the 12th. That is Wednesday. Or you've got to have your money paid by Wednesday, or the event will not take place. You can enter anybody in any contest for a minimum donation of $5 per event, but you can donate as much money as you like. You can pay the entry fee and nominate someone else, as we've said, yourself or someone else. And the group or person who donates the most money will be named the first Christmas Olympic champion. Now, you have through Wednesday, the close of business on Wednesday at 2 o'clock to enter this contest. So you got to do it quick. You bring your donations to WWGH Radio, 559 East Center Street. We're in the lower level of the Beltone Hearing Aid Building. Now, there is a little bit of something interesting here. Now, last week we had a gentleman call in, Jerry Harris, who pledged $40 for me to eat a fruitcake. And then he called back in on Friday and said he would match the donations of anybody else to see me eat a whole fruitcake. And Charlie Evers will watch this. That's the deal. And then Ed Atkins called in, and he pledged $20 to see me eat a fruitcake. And Bob Austin called in and pledged $5 to see me eat a fruitcake. So, Jerry, you've got to have your money in by Wednesday, as does everybody else, Ed and Bob, or I won't be eating this fruitcake. Now, you can come any day between 10 and 2 and drop off your money. Now, at this point, though, Jerry, you're up to $40. So are you going to match Ed and Bob? Because here's my feeling on this whole thing. If it's what it is right now, 40 from Jerry, 20 from Ed, and 5 from Bob, we're at $65. Now, I'm not going to tear into this fruitcake if we can't get over $100. Because I think that's the goal that would have to be set. Because last week I told you I wasn't sure if I would do it or not. Now, you've got to have your money in by Wednesday, so you've still got time to do this. But right now I believe it's $65. I'm only confident to say that $65 has come in for this. But that's if Jerry Harris is going to match Ed and Bob. Because if he's going to match Ed and Bob, which I think is what he said on Friday, we would be up to $90? Because we're up to $65, so that'd be $80. Yeah, we'd be up to $90 if Jerry paid $65, Bob had $20, and Bob had $5, which still would be short of the $100 mark. I will eat the fruitcake, one of those awful fruitcakes. Ugh. Just the thought of it, if we hit $100, but I don't know if we will or not. So if anybody wants to pledge any more money to see me eat this fruitcake, you still have time. You could pledge more right now, by the way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I will not do it if we don't hit $100. Because we want to give the money to a worthy cause. So that's the deal. We'll see if we get there this week. 740-383-9944. Now, we have another special coming up this Friday, by the way. This is going to be a lot of fun as well. It's the 10 Most Interesting People of 2018. That will be coming up this Friday, December 14th from 5:10 to 6 p.m. And it'll repeat 10:10 to 11 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. Now, we will have interviews with the 10 most interesting people of 2018. Now, we will not reveal the number one person until the special airs on December 14th. But I can tell you the 9 most interesting people, and then we're going to keep the number one person a secret until Friday. Now, here's the list. Tom Janot, the writer who interviewed Mr. Rogers, whom the Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers is being based on. Mayor Scott Schertzer, who will run for a fourth term as mayor in 2019. Mike DeWine, soon to be sworn in as the 70th governor of Ohio. Roger Stone, friend of President Trump for 40 years, who is standing by him when all others are taking plea deals. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, she's the current Lieutenant Governor who ran for governor in 2018. Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, who gives his thoughts on President Harding's death in 2018, which was the 95th anniversary year of President Harding's death. Jim Jordan, Ohio representative who ran and won re-election in Ohio in 2018, embroiled in a scandal involving his time as a wrestling coach at Ohio State. Dennis Kucinich, former Ohio representative who re-entered the political arena in 2018 to run in the Democratic primary for governor. Shayna Morris, the first female Harding High School student to receive a college scholarship for wrestling. And the number one most interesting person of 2018, who we will reveal on Friday when the special airs 4:15 until 5 or 5:15 until 6 o'clock. Does anybody have any guesses as to who the most interesting person is of 2018? 740-383-9944. Now, following that special on Friday, from 6:10 until 8 p.m., we are going to rerun the special that we did last year, Destination Heaven. We did interviews with evangelical ministers. We did interviews with rabbis. We did interviews with people who were thinking of committing suicide. We did interviews with people who had near-death experiences. We did interviews with atheists. And we tried to come to a conclusion. People who study the brain. We did an interview with somebody who studies the brain and says that that's what happens when we die. The brain goes on. We did an interview with the first person to be frozen. That was very interesting. Bob Nelson, I think his name was, cryogenics, the first person to be frozen. So it's all about what happens when we die. That special will re-air this coming Friday, Destination Heaven, 6:10 until 8 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., we're going to rerun the special, the Christmas songs and the people who sang them. We've got Gayla Peavy on the show, who's the original performer of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. We've got Brenda Lee, who originally sang Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And we've got Dr. Elmo, who originally did Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. That will be Friday, 8:10 till 9 p.m. And also a part of that special is Carolyn Grimes, who is the last living member of the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. She was little Zuzu at the end, who is held by Jimmy Stewart when the movie is ending. So that special will air at 8:10 on Friday. So there you go. This coming Friday, we kick it off at 5:10 with the most interesting people of 2018. Then from 6 to 8, it's Destination Heaven. And then at 8 p.m., it's the Christmas original singer special. The people who sang the original Christmas songs that we all know and love. Okay, does anybody have any more pledges for the Christmas Olympics on Thursday? Does anybody have any answers to the trivia questions? Does anybody have anything to say, period? 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget, those letters can still go out. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's how you send a letter to Santa Claus. Now, here are some of our new questions that we have today to add to the ones we've already went through. What was the original name of the 7-Eleven stores that we have in Marion? I think we still have two of them. I think we had more than that at one point. But what was the original name of those stores? Does anybody know that? What business used to be located in the building that houses Little Caesars now? Does anybody remember what was in there before Little Caesars? And then here's an interesting for all you bowlers out there. When bowling was at its height in the 1980s, can you name all the bowling alleys that were open in Marion? 740-383-9944. So those are the questions. What was the original name of the 7-Eleven stores that are in Marion? I think we still have two of them, but there used to be three, I believe. But they all had the same name, and they've changed names many times over the years. But what were the original names of those stores when they were built, the 7-Eleven stores? What business was in the building where, I about said it. We'll get the call here.
Go ahead, caller.
I think the stores were named Lawson's.
You've got it. They were named Lawson's. Now, how, there were three Lawson's, weren't there?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was one on Main Street. Now, where were the other two located?
One was on Center Street, where it's two-way over there. Close by where that there's some sort of a little Dairy Queen, a Jersey or something there. It was close by that.
Yeah, right. There's a little store in there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was out by Whirlpool, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think there was one out that way. I'm pretty sure. But you are... Where did you think the third one was?
I wasn't really sure. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was out that way, if I'm right. I think it was out there, like by that gas station. I think it's a Moto Mart now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it was out there. Well, are you eligible to win a prize today?
I sure am.
All right, let's see what we have here. Oh, what do we have in the prize folder here? Well, we have tickets to the Columbus Zoo. We have ice cream cones at McDonald's. We have apple slices at McDonald's. We have an oil change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic at Huntsman Auto Oil. Any of that jump out at you?
Let's see. What was the first thing?
Columbus Zoo tickets.
Oh, yeah, I'll take those.
Okay, let me write this down. Zoo lights. All right, what is your name, ma'am?
Karen Freeman.
Now, Karen, do you know where we're located?
No.
Okay, we are on East Center Street. Do you know where Domino's Pizza is?
Yes.
Okay, we are right across the street in the Beltone Hearing Aid Building. If you park out back and go down the back stairwell, there we are.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Karen Freeman gets a pair of Zoo Lights tickets today. Yes, the original name of those stores were Lawson's. And I think that was the original locations. I think it was, she's right, on Center Street. There's like a little supermarket in that store now. There was one on Main Street, which is still there. I think it's still called a 7-Eleven. And then there was one out by Whirlpool. I think there's a Speedway or a, I'm not sure what the gas station is called, but I think it's out in that direction. But it was Lawson's. But the other questions, what was... Okay, we'll take one more call here before we go to break. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, did anyone get the one about the joke?
No, not yet.
I think of a knee slapper.
A knee slapper? Boy, that's close. That's the closest one we've had. Keep guessing.
Thanks.
All right, not a knee slapper, but that's close.
That is very, very close. Okay, we're going to go to break. Then we're going to come back with Jack Cannon and talk about the lights. But then we're going to do more trivia, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to WWGH Radio.
Was a driver so lively and quick, I knew number one must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came.